This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! In the left field, December 3000, a run is scored!
Smith courts one into right down the line. It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Clover's there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, Cardinal Nation, and welcome to our Thursday morning edition of Two Birds on a Bat. I'm your host, Jim Cromer. Let me welcome in my partner in crime, as he is on and off the field, as you would say here at lineupmedia.fm, my good buddy Steve Flowers. What's going on?
Man, just been a busy week in the mortgage industry, man. So, wasn't able to make it on Monday. And
are rates down? What's going on?
It's a buying season, you know.
Well, that's good, right?
Everybody's ready to get out of the winter doldrums and get out there and buy houses. So it's just been, we've been busy, the wife and I, so.
Well, you gotta work, but yep. Then you gotta play.
Yes.
And let me tell you, it is about time to play. We have confirmed we have our tickets, right?
We do.
Which means what? It is opening day for the St. Louis Cardinals. It is a tradition unlike any other. It should be a holiday. I've said it. And again, we've told you, and again, I write this down. Kind of remember Welcome Back, Cotter? Epstein did not show up for school today because he was sick, signed Epstein's mother. Remember
yes.
That, Juan, little Juan? Same thing here. Write it down. Benji Molina, Jim, and Steve-O said, I do not have to be at work on Monday. They said it's a holiday. Write it down. Take it in. Give it to your boss because, folks, baseball season is upon us. We are 3 days away, and it is going to be on. We have Cards, Cubs, Sunday Night Baseball. What more do you need? You know what? I know what we need. Do you know what we need?
Well, I know I need a Philly cheesesteak coming up.
I know, but you know what we really need?
What do you got?
We need Benji, and he's on the line on the M4byYachty.com hotline, our own, who has been through numerous opening days and has lived that life, Benji Molina. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, guys. Good to hear you guys. Let's do this, man. I'm so excited for opening day. You don't even know, man.
Oh,
I want to see what this Cardinal team can do, you know?
For sure. And this opening day is going to be special for you and your family as you will be in town. You will be doing a lot of people remember last year, the great event where you did the game in the Spanish broadcast. Obviously, it was like a storybook ending with the game that Yachty had and you being up there doing it. It was kind of an emotional thing for you guys as a family. But now you're going to be doing it on opening day. You've been a part of so many great opening day experiences. You know, you've had the years where you've won the Gold Glove. You had the year coming off a World Series championship, which is a celebration on opening day for clubs like no other. You also experienced a year as a coach for the Cardinals opening day. Now, I know that you would never disparage another organization, especially the ones that were so good to you, but we like to believe that we do it like no other here in St. Louis. Can you confirm or deny that?
Oh, I can confirm it. I don't think there's any other place I've been in baseball for opening day that has been more spectacular. I don't know if that's the word that we can use, but It's incredible the way that they take care of the opening day in St. Louis. No wonder you don't hear anybody saying that's a holiday in anywhere else. But St. Louis, everybody have that opinion. Everybody has a thought about having that as a holiday, you know. So that tells you how special it is. And it was for me. I was in the same team as my bro. And, you know, it's an amazing feeling just going out there and seeing all those fans, man. Like I said, one of the best fans I ever been involved with.
Are you prepared for the managers and bosses and owners that are going to be calling you saying, hey, so-and-so gave me this note that said that you said it was okay if they missed work Monday? Are you prepared for that?
Oh, I'm prepared for that. They should be. Everybody should be off. Even the boss. The boss should go to the freaking game. Come on, man.
Well, of course. Well, hey, and that's what we really want to talk about is the experience because, we have the unique opportunity with you being a part of this show to talk about, and obviously Steve and I would consider ourselves pros at opening day. We don't miss, and we make it, we're there first thing in the morning, whether the game's at noon, 3 o'clock, 7 o'clock, doesn't matter. We consider ourselves opening day pros. You've been on the field, obviously, for numerous opening days, so we're going to try to give fans a little bit of a perspective on that as well. I do want to remind everybody before we get there, though, to make sure you check us out. TwoBirdsOnABat.com is where you'll find the podcast. You can listen to back episodes, obviously the current episode. It's also the easiest way to subscribe to the show, which is free. You just simply click on subscribe to the podcast. It'll walk you right through it. We are having so much fun with people on Twitter right now. Make sure you follow us at Birds on a Bat Show. I promise you this. If you're a Cardinal fan and you follow us, we are going to follow you back. Hey, follow Benji as well. A lot of our listeners on the show have become big Benji Molina fans and are following. You're at Benji Molina 1. Is that right, my friend?
Yeah.
Yep. At Benji Molina 1. Make sure you do that. Yep. And then on Facebook as well, all you got to do is type in Two Birds on a Bat. You'll find us, like our page. We love the interaction that we're having with you guys on social media. I promise you, if you're a Cardinal fan, even if you're a baseball fan, we're going to follow you back because we love this interaction. We love the conversation. We love the fact that everybody doesn't always agree. It makes for great conversation, which makes this fun. And again, thank you to everybody here at lineupmedia.fm for their continued support. The show just continues to grow. That's in large part to all of you out there listening, the sharing, the liking, the conversations. And of course, we can never do this without our good friends, rallysquirrel.com, the wonderful Facebook page for all Cardinal fans, our friend Chris Lawless at Cardinal Nation, the Cardinal Freak. He's another one that does a great job. There are so many great Facebook pages out there for you guys to be a part of, communities and groups. Get out there, like them, read some of the great stories. There are so many great people doing great things with Cardinal baseball here in St. Louis. Get active with it. I'm telling you, you will enjoy it, and we appreciate them very, very much. Okay, so let's get to this. Now, Benji, here's what I'm excited for Sunday. You ready? You ready for this?
Yep.
Okay, you've been on the field for numerous opening days, too many to even probably count right now. But what I'm excited for, and you've been to St. Louis, right? You've been on the field the whole bit. You've seen the fans. You've seen the Clydesdales. You've seen all this. Here's the deal, man. You're in town, and we're going to take you out before you got to go to work Sunday, and we're going to let you experience that crowd outside the stadium. I'm telling you, it is going to be like Mardi Gras down there Sunday. I cannot wait for you to see this.
I can wait, man. I mean, seriously, I can wait to do any of that. I really can. I'm so excited. Let me tell you this for the fans out there, right, that are listening. When you're a player and you're about to go to a opening day, that night before, it's not easy for us. There's so many things going through our minds, especially when you're a catcher and you're thinking about the Cubs and how am I going to pitch to Rizzo and how am I going to pitch to the shortstop, the Brian. And you know, all those guys, and how am I going to hit against Lester? Are we going to run on him? Are we not going to run? Are we going to do this? Your head just spins and spins and spins the whole night. Sometimes you can't even sleep. Once a day, the day wakes, you know, and you get up and you're ready to go. You get to the field. I mean, you still feel chills, you know. You're still feeling the chills of opening day, man, and then you go through the video, you got your notebook, you got everything, you know, watching video. That's what people don't know, man. We don't just show up to the field and that's it. You know, we have the game and get it over with and we go home. I mean, it's something that we're building, especially in this rivalry with the Cubs, man. I bet you Yadi's already looking at videos, already checking out how is he going to pitch with Carlos to certain guys and situations, and his brain is going off, you know, already to get ready for that game. So there's a lot of things that go on and before the opening day, man, the fans needed to know, you know.
Well, that sounds a lot like how we prepare.
Yes. See, Benji, we're pros at this.
We have to have tickets. And there's been a lot of times where our tickets have come through late and we've had to make a special trip somewhere prior to the game. A lot of times it's a day game and it's a little bit more hectic. This is an evening game, so, you know, which jersey am I going to wear?
Yeah, what are you going to go with?
Okay,
have you decided?
What's the weather going to be like? Okay, we got to figure out if there's any rain in the area, if we're going to be undercover, not undercover. I think I'm probably going powder blue Delino DeShields 1997 game used.
Yeah.
Ooh, that is pretty good right there, man. And how about the cheesesteak?
Listen. We're going to start off the day somewhere with Augusta's pretzels from a street vendor, all right? Maybe two. And then I can't wait. If hopefully they have turkey legs outside of Ballpark Village, maybe grab one of those. Yeah. But once I get inside the stadium, bud, that cheesesteak is on the agenda.
Oh, man. I can't wait for one of those, man.
Oh, I'm bringing it to you. We got to find out where the Clydesdales are going to be because we got to go check those out pregame, get our picture. We got to figure out where the Facebook post is going to come from, the check-in.
Yep.
There's a lot of stuff that we have to prepare because we have to be – because Jim is very particular. We have to be in the stadium, in the seat, when the Clydesdales come out.
Got to be there. Got to be out there.
Hey, I got an idea for you guys now that you mentioned Facebook.
Okay.
You know, one day when we're doing the show wherever we are together doing the show, we should do the Facebook Live, man.
It's done, buddy. It's done. It's done. We're doing
it.
We're doing it Monday because you're going to be live in studio. You're going to be live in studio Monday with us, okay? We're actually going to have you here. We have it already set up, so if you're listening out there, we are. We are going live, okay? Everybody's going to be able to see us do the show. I'm telling you, this thing's going to blow up. I am excited for it. And again, Steve's right. Hey, we're the pros in this one, Benji. We're going to be up all night Saturday night, stressed out, thinking about how am I going to do this? I got to figure out how I'm going to get into these different places, where we're going to get our seats, checking out the weather. I'm telling you, it's a night of preparation. The parking spot is key.
You don't understand how important the parking spot is. That's key.
Oh, heck yeah, man. Heck yeah. Well, I don't understand it because we park in the players' lot.
Well, we might.
I know how big it could get because sometimes their players' lot is full and they make us park outside. Oh, man, it's a hassle. But I know what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So let me ask you this. When you're coming in town, I know you're going to be in for a while. Are you bringing golf clubs with you?
Not really. I think I need to work on my swing before I kind of look so bad on the greens or whatever. You know, I don't want to be hitting the water. I don't want to be hitting fours out there. You know, I don't want to hurt nobody. So I got to work on my swing, man.
Well, you've been in Arizona. You should have that swing down, I would think. But we'll give you a pass on that.
I've been going everywhere with this baseball classic, and then I had to go to Puerto Rico for a while for Yadi's opening day over there. And I mean, I haven't been here that much. The days that I'm here at home is more like a resting day, you know.
All right, and then break it down for me. Your favorite meal, because I'm trying to throw something together here. Are you a barbecue guy or a steak guy?
Well, you know what. I love more the steaks.
All right.
I love more steaks. A barbecue doesn't hurt me, you know. It's good too, but I'm not such a big fan of, like, I could get a good ribs and stuff, but I'm more like a steak guy, and I go for that any day, you know.
Good. I got something planned for you. I'll keep it as a surprise.
All right. Let's do it.
It's gonna be fun.
So so think about this, Benji. Now you've been on the field. You were part of the St. Louis opening day. My guess is there's probably – each opening day has probably been special to you for one reason or another. Like I said, you had your first time that you went through an opening day ceremony when you were in the big leagues. What was that like for you the very first time you ever celebrated being in their first game of the season? What was that like for you?
You know, you got to remember that for the catchers a little different because you have to go with the – with the pitcher and warm up and get ready for the game. I always wanted to be on the line, you know? But I never could. I always had to go with the pitcher warming up and all that stuff. So, and get ready for the game. And then I think I did it one day. I told the manager, I said, hey, listen, I'm gonna stand on the line, man. I don't care if I have to warm up the pitcher. I don't care. I know the guy. I cut him a bunch of times. I'm going to go for the line. And I think it was Socha. And Socha said, hey, man, you should have done that from the beginning, from the first. And I'm like, holy crap. Here I am thinking I'm doing the right thing, and you're going to tell me that right now? Come on, man. So I did it, and it was very special. It was very special. It was very different from going out and warm up the pitcher, and they say your name, and you're in the bullpen. It was very different from that. You know, you get the chance to go and line up and shake your buddy's hand and high five everybody, and then you're in the lineup and you feel like wow, this is so cool, and that's what it is. That's what it is. Actually, it's it doesn't get old. It's the same thing. You saw Yadi with the way he reacted whenever they were presented in the World Baseball Classic. You'll see him. You'll see all those guys in St. Louis, how they get so excited to go out. And the time I was there, they brought us in a freaking pickup, man. Brought us in pickup trucks.
Oh, yeah, the old Ford parade, right?
Well, it's we've had, one of
yeah.
them.
Yeah, we've had convertible Mustangs before, and then I think they went to the Ford truck.
Yeah, the Ford truck that year, man, it was awesome. And I enjoyed it, man. I really, really did enjoy it. You get the chills, and you still get so excited for it.
So you've had you obviously, as a ball player, it's your, you know, the first time. What about the opening day after you guys won the World Series? What was that like?
That was amazing. That was really, really cool too. I think we got our ring in that day, so it made it extra special. That could have been the day I went over to the line, because I don't remember very good, but that could have been the day, because I wanted to receive my ring out there.
Right.
So, but it was very special. To win a ring, it's an amazing feeling. I know you guys have so many as a team, but for me to win it, actually win it, not like the one that they gave me from the Giants, because they won it. Not that one, but so much to win it, to feel like you did it. It's an amazing feeling, man. It's just inside of your heart, and it's like you worked so hard for it, and you dream about it when you're a kid. But here it is. Here's this box, and you open it, and here's your ring. Here's your prize from winning it all last year. So it's an amazing feeling, and I bet you everybody feels the same, you know?
Yeah, you know, it's something that I think that we as fans sit in the stands and watch you guys, and I know that I think it, right? I know we wonder if you guys understand how big it is for us and if you feel the same way. I genuinely see the excitement in the players on opening day. I don't know why I pay attention to that stuff, but I do. But I think players understand the magnitude of it. Now, I'm not naive. There's probably some players that don't get as emotional about it or don't whatever, but the bottom line is I think every one of you guys are big kids, okay? You're playing a game that everybody wishes they could play their whole life, and I think you understand that how serious it is. Now, I'm not saying it's this way in every town, but it definitely is in this town. So let's fast forward. Go ahead.
Every player in St. Louis, that every true player, I should say, every hard player, every player that loved the city, that loved the town, that loved the fans, will feel that way. We'll see you guys, because when I was there as a coach, all I heard about in the coaching room was, wow, this year is going to be amazing. Listen to the fans. Wow, they're going nuts out there. Man, I couldn't walk through the hole in front of the stadium because it was so packed. Man, this year is going to be special. So we noticed as players, and obviously, like you said, there's some that doesn't get it, you know, it goes blow their mind, they don't care or whatever, but the main guys that have heart and they have the passion for the city and for us fans, they get it, man, because I heard it, and I heard players, I've been hearing players talking about it for so long, you know, look at the fans, and they get excited. So the fans are very important.
Okay, so let's talk now about the one that matters to us the most, right? Okay, and that is your time when you were a Cardinal. I'm sure your brother, I'm sure your friends on the Cardinal team probably told you ahead of time, hey, Benji, this is like nothing you've ever experienced. Did it kind of get you fired up, like, man, I can't wait to experience this? Were you, like, overly excited about experiencing the whole St. Louis opening day thing?
Let me put it this way to you guys. The day that I agreed to become a coach of the Cardinals, obviously I was very excited for Yadi to be hanging out with him and everything. But the first day that I signed, that I said, you know what, I'm a coach of the Cardinals, that day on, me and my wife, we were thinking about opening day, how special it's going to be, how great it's going to be, and how awesome would it be that Yadi's going to be there. You know, he might shake my hand when he goes through the line, or before the game, he's going to give me a hug and things like that. You know what I mean?
Sure.
That's from the day I agree to become a coach of the Cardinals. That's from that day on. And it was amazing.
So you're at the stadium. You guys are underneath in the back, I guess. And I, like you said, I think you came out in a truck. Is that right?
Yeah, we came out. We were getting ready to jump in this truck. And I'm like, holy crap, what is this, you know, in the truck? And that's when they take us all around the field and they drop us off in home plate. I mean, I felt so special, man. I was like, holy moly, man. Ain't nobody do this, you know,
anywhere else
but here.
Could you feel the energy from the stadium before you came out? Like, could you guys I always wonder if you guys are underneath there and you're like, there are 40-something thousand people going crazy out there waiting for us to drive out here.
We're always talking about it. Always. There's always. I mean, the coaching staff, everybody. We did I went to the clubhouse. Everybody's getting their uniforms ready. You know, they're looking in the mirror. You know, they want to look good. They don't want to have anything going wrong. And then the coaches, we're all sitting down like, wow, man, these fans are going crazy out there. I can't wait for this time to go on. Because you get there really early, you know, and do your preparations, and then you sit for a while. So that's the time you have to talk about it. And, yes, we do. We do. We realize how many people are going to be here in this stadium. It's going to be packed up. The village is going to be going crazy, watching the games out there. The fans in the street is gonna be crazy. We gotta go out there and win this one for them. And I mean, the whole talk that you guys can imagine, we're having it in there, you know.
So you come out, you see the sea of red, the craziness that's going on. Everybody's so excited. It's just a nut house. One of my favorite things, which I think it separates us from a lot of teams, is you get out of the truck and you approach the Living Hall of Famers. What was that like for you, walking through that line and shaking hands with basically what we feel are living legends?
And that's living legends to me too. it doesn't make no difference. Even if you're a player, you have your legends, you know?
Sure.
So when I got out and I looked at him, I was like, holy crap, man, how am I going to shake their hands, you know? And I might not wash my hands anymore, and I want a ball signed by them. I want a jersey signed. I mean, every thought that you can think of, it goes through your head, because they're, like you said, they're legends for us, you know, as fans. They're legends, man, and they're really, really, really good players. That's where I wanted to be as a player. I wanted to be a Hall of Famer somewhere. I didn't have a chance to do that, but at the same time, I appreciate what they've done to the game, what they've done to the city, what they done when they wore the Cardinal uniform. And it is just such a special feeling when you get out of that truck and the first hand you check is Ozzie Smith or Lou Brock or Bob Gibson. Man, I almost shake when I shook his hand. I really, really, literally almost started shaking when I saw all these players. I'm like, holy crap, man. But this is, we feel the same way as a fan. We are fans. We just play the game, but we're still a fan of baseball. And we know who these guys are. We feel that way. So for us to do that after the truck, man, it was an amazing feeling. I tell you what, man.
Well, you know, like I said, we see that. That's another thing I sit there and I wonder. These are guys that play the game at the highest level. Does it mean a lot to them to shake the hand of a Bob Gibson, of a of a you know, of a Lou Brock, of a of all these guys. And it's awesome to hear that even our heroes of today understand the significance of the heroes of yesterday. That I just think that's awesome.
Oh, it's a respectful deal, man. We know who they were. We know that they wore their uniform before us. We know that they represented the city before us. We know that. We respect that. And like I said, we're fans, man. I love baseball. I'm a Cardinal fan, but I love baseball, you know, and I'm going to love all those guys. That, like I told you, my favorite player was Pete Rose when I was growing up, but it was because he hustled every single play. He hustled, I mean, a walk, and he was running hard at first base. A chopper to the pitcher, he was running. So we're baseball fans, you know, as a player, and I bet you everybody have their heroes out there, and some of them could be Lou Brock's hero, you know, or Aussie, or Bob, or Tudor, you know, everybody. They could be their own hero. So, I mean, it was special. It was special just to see them, you know.
Sure. And now we as fans also sit around and we think to ourselves, when you're a player, a lot was made of, you know, the unfortunate situation with Albert. A lot of people couldn't understand why he would leave here. He was destined to have a statue out in front of the stadium like Stan Musial. Someday he would be the iconic figure that would walk out and the place would rise up out of their seats and here's our living legend. And that still may happen. I would hope so. But my point is to live from the beginning to the end with this historic franchise and to be that guy, right? So we look at that. And I often wonder, do players think about that? Does it matter to them? So I ask you, because now we are in that situation with your brother. I look at your brother. He has the opportunity to be that living legend. He's an iconic figure. He's a in every baseball fan's mind, not just Cardinal fan, he's a Hall of Famer, no doubt about it. He's our guy. He has said he wants to stay here. My question to you is, I don't want to get into that. I don't care about the contract. I don't even want to discuss that today. What I want to ask you is, do you think, and again, this may be a simple question, does that legacy and the fact that he will one day walk out of that dugout in that red coat and stand there and everybody will get off and shake his hand, does that mean something to him?
Oh, my goodness. Heck yeah, man. Heck yeah. That was why he took a lot less money to stay there for that many years, the contract before, and that's why he's doing the day playing the day after a night games. That's why he sweats that jersey. That's why he loved the fans. He said it to me like a million times, how the fans treat him so well there and how the fans understand when you get the guy over from second and instead of getting booed and because you got an out, you got a standing ovation because you got the guy over. I mean, he has told me so many things, like when a guy gives it up as a pitcher and reliever, when they're coming off the mound, how great they are about applauding him and telling him, hey, you know what, don't worry, and next time you will be better, you know, don't worry about it. I mean, he's told me so many times all those little things that helps a player. Just remember, as a fan, we can really hurt a player. And this might be a thing that we do not know, you know, as a fan until later. But I was a player, and when I heard my own fans yelling against me, it really, really destroyed me as a player. Like, I didn't know what to do, and I didn't know how to act, and all of a sudden I tried to do a double what I could, and I tried to do extra for you guys, and I mean, so that hurts, and to have a fan base that don't do that, it is unbelievable and amazing, a great feeling that we feel when we go out there and we want to give 150% to you guys as a fan, because we don't have to worry about you guys booing us or yelling mean stuff to us or writing stuff that are not great. That's one of the reasons why you want to finish, start and finish your career with your same team. It's mainly one of those reasons because you guys have their backs, you know, and they feel comfortable at home. The Albert situation, a lot of people saw it different. The way I saw it, it was very simple. like I always say, baseball is never loyal, but it's a business for a team, and it's a time for us as a player to be accepted as one of the best and be paid as good as somebody else that has done less than me or something like that. So for them, it's a business, and we understand, but for us, we're trying to make the money that other players are getting for doing less. So that was the reason I saw with Albert. But, man, the fan base in St. Louis is a big key. It's a big key to the success of the team.
Well, and, you know, I believe, and, Steve, I don't know your thoughts on this, I still believe that Albert will – obviously, he's a Hall of Famer. That's a no doubt. I think he'll be a Cardinal Hall of Famer, of course, no doubt. I still see Albert being the guy that comes back here and comes out on opening day. I hope that's the case. I don't know what this personal services thing is with LA. I don't know, but I still see St. Louis embracing him and him coming back. I don't think it's going to be what it could be, and that's why my hope and wish is for Yadi to finish as a Cardinal, because, again, I think the same things await Yadi: the statue out front, the red jacket, the 40-something thousand people on their feet every time he makes an appearance, every time he's on a camera, every time. That's what I want. And here's the thing. I want that as a Cardinal fan. I'm sorry. That's what I want. And I feel like it should happen.
I agree with you from that standpoint that unique – St. Louis is very unique in the fact that – and maybe it's like this other places in the country, but for as little as – you know, the city offers from a standpoint, you know, there's no beaches, there's, you know, the weather changes all the time, that for some reason our athletes tend to stay here if they retire here. And they're a part of the community. And I think that's what we all wanted to see with Albert. And that's our biggest fear with Yadi, that the fact of the matter is that if that contract isn't signed and he moves on to somewhere else, well, most, you know, chances are he's going to be buying a house out next to Benji in Arizona.
Right.
And that's where he's going to live for the rest of his life. And we're not, he's not going to be a part of our community. He's still our guy, right? But he's not entrenched in our community. Whereas if you're signing for that contract and retires here, he's going to have his house here. He's going to live here. He's going to be a part of all the charities and organizations. And that's what St. Louis does best. And that's how we embrace our people. And it was what Stan Musial did. It was what Ozzie Smith did. You know, all of our greats seem to be a part of that. And that's the real heartbreak, is that that's what we're able to – yeah, we don't have the beach, but guess what? You come here, you retire here, you're going to stay here.
Benji, your thoughts?
I think it's not necessarily has to be for the beach or anything. I think it's more because the treatment – the way that you guys out there in St. Louis, the way that you're so passionate about a player, the way that you're so passionate about the team. And we embrace that, man. We do. We actually do. And I'm telling you, it's really, really important the way the fans treat the players. And it could end up, like you said, it could end up making a decision of leaving. Or, you know what, the fans yell at me so horrible things. The fans were booing me every at-bat. You know what? The hell with these people. Let's go. You know, it could actually affect in that way, and you don't want that. So the fans, knowing that the fans have your back and they're always cheering and they're the best fans in baseball for that matter, and knowing that, you, of course you want to stay there. Of course you're being loved like Yadi. You're being loved all those years. You won championship. You lost some tough ones together. And to say that as a whole career in one team, you wouldn't see that often, man. You don't see that often. So for us as players, the fans are really, really important. Obviously, when you cheer, when you appreciate the game, when you understand what we're doing, when you understand when we're going through a hard time, instead of booing, understand what we're going through. We're not trying to fail. We're trying to succeed, but all of a sudden everything's going wrong. And I know, as from my experience, I know how the fans are in St. Louis, but that's what I'm trying to say. Like, that's why they stay. That's why those guys stay. That's why those guys come back and stay there, because of the community, because the fans, because the people that took care of them for so many years, and they appreciate that.
Well, I can tell you that I know that I am, and Steve-O and a couple of our friends that will be with us, we are looking forward to introducing you to a St. Louis tradition like none other, and that being opening day when you meet up with us Sunday morning before you go to work. Now, we know you got to go to work, so you won't be able to enjoy it as much as we're going to enjoy it, if you know what I mean. But that being said, we're going to get you your Philly cheesesteak. We're going to take you around. We're going to show you the craziness. We're going to go get our picture taken with a Clydesdale. We're going to do this thing upright Sunday, my man.
Oh, man, it's going to be awesome. I can't wait, man. I think it's going to be great. Like I told you, I think it's the St. Louis Cardinals are going to open some eyes this year because nobody's thinking about them seriously. So I think they're gonna be great. I think and my prediction of winning the division is a really, really tough battle, and tough saying that because of the Cubs. But I put my money on my guys anytime, man. Those guys battle their hearts out every single time for the city and for their own team, you know, for the whole team. I'm going with St. Louis.
Well, I will tell you that we're looking forward to the season, obviously. Steve-O and I will have everything done. We'll have it all planned out. All you got to do, my man, is just show up, and we're going to take you out and show you how we do it. And then you can go do your thing. We're looking forward to hearing that as well. And, of course, the game itself, which that's what we're here for, right, is the game. And it's going to be a great time. I know you're going to be in town doing multiple broadcasts this first week. I'm really excited to show you a side that you haven't seen yet. I know you're aware of it, but we're going to show you firsthand what's really going on outside that stadium on opening day. I'm looking forward to you, my man.
Hey, I wanted to say something. I wanted to say thank you to the fans that has been giving me support in Instagram and Twitter and Facebook, you know, and I never thought in my life I was going to get 20,000 followers in Instagram. I never even thought of that for one second. My Twitter is all up into 12,000. Never even thought I was going to get 5,000. But anyway, I thank everybody out there that's listening and everybody out there that is following me the whole way.
Let me ask you a question. You and I have kind of talked about this, and I want you to say it out loud. Is it surprising to you at all that you played, you know, let's face it, you know where you won a World Series, you won Gold Gloves with San Francisco, you played for multiple organizations. Does it surprise you that a large amount of your fan base is right here in St. Louis? Is that surprising to you?
No, it doesn't surprise me. I helped that when I went coaching and we made it all the way to the World Series that year. It helped when my brother's there. It helped when I'm doing all these radio and TV appearances and signing the book and the book tour and all that. So it helps, of course, but it doesn't surprise me. The St. Louis people are great. The fans they understand the baseball. That's what I always said. The St. Louis fans understand baseball, and that's why they're fans, you know, and they know who I am. They know that I'm Yadi's brother. They're supporting me. So I would say always thank you for the support, man. That's what I'm trying to say with the Instagram and all that, is because of the same reason. I'm just being thankful.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, we appreciate you as well. I know that you take time out of your own schedule to do this each week, purely to give the fans a little bit of a different perspective. We claim to be, and we try to be, a fans podcast, and give our listeners an opportunity both to listen, to agree, disagree, speak their piece. That's what this thing's all about. And again, you add that little bit different perspective of, hey, I've been there. I can give you a little bit of insight while being a fan just like the rest of us. So I can tell you that we appreciate you. I know our fans appreciate you. And I promise you, I cannot wait until we get out there Sunday and you get to see how much the fans really do appreciate everything that you do for both the show and for St. Louis Cardinal baseball. So my wish is for you guys to be safe on your way here with your family. Looking forward to meeting your family as well. And we're going to have a good time, my friend.
Wow, that's just the way it's going to be. That's the way St. Louis makes it, man. That's very special. I can't wait to go out there and see the city go crazy. And we haven't even said a word about the game, man. The game is going to be nuts, man. That game is going to be insane, man. It's going to be a really hardcore game. We need every fan out there cheering as loud as they can and, you know, it's going to be a sick game, man. You watch.
It's going to be good. Can't wait to see you. I'll chat with you tomorrow, and we'll make sure we're all square for Sunday. But Steve will have your Philly cheesesteak ready to go, I promise.
Thank you, Steve-o.
You bet, buddy.
All right, see you soon. That is the awesome man, Benji Molina himself. We appreciate him so much. He comes to you each and every week thanks to his brother's fantastic company, m4byyachty.com. The great clothing line that's fun, it's active. But the money goes to so many great charities that Yachty's a part of. And again, you know, we're not even going to get crazy about the Yachty contract today. In my heart, there's no way this doesn't happen. I think fans are going to have a nice opening day surprise. That's my opinion. I can't speak for anybody, but there's just no way it makes too much sense. That's why I don't even want to talk about it, because today is a day to talk about.
Wouldn't that be a great gift for opening day? That the announcement, they announce, hey, we got something. It's done.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
That would be an awesome gift.
Oh, my God. Place would go bananas.
I would almost take that over a World Series ring, you know, knowing how much I think Yachty means to the organization and to the fans and to the city. It's on the top of our dream list there.
It's going to be a good time. I cannot wait. This is going to be a great time. And again, this is like a dream come true. You get the opportunity to show a guy that's been in the parade, okay, because they're busy, right? They're getting ready. You get to show a guy what's going on outside the stadium, and I know St. Louis fans will not disappoint. He's excited about this. We've been talking about this. Since he found out that he was doing this and was coming in, he is genuinely excited to just walk around outside the
stadium.
You're
excited. You've been practicing your autograph here for 45 minutes.
My autograph. Nobody wants my autograph.
That's crazy.
It's crazy.
I got two things to say here as we're going through. Obviously, the Cardinals have whittled it down to their 25-man active roster here. Did you look at the size of Fowler and Martinez? Did you realize Fowler's 6'5"?
Fowler's a big dude, man. Fowler is a big dude.
Martinez is 6'6".
Yeah.
So I can't wait to see those guys, long, lean guys out there.
Yes, I do too, because they're big dudes. Hey, we enjoyed our conversation Monday with Bruno at STL Cards Cards so much. I had another gentleman that I've been going back and forth with on Twitter a little bit. His Twitter handle will tell you all you need to know, as it's at @anti_Matheny. That'll tell you why I've probably had some interesting conversations with him. I get labeled a Matheny apologist. Let me ask you a question, Steve, before we go to him. Do you think it's funny? You've known me now for a very long time, okay? So you've heard me. Do you think it's funny that people think I'm a Matheny apologist?
I think it's very, very ironic that's the way you come off. Because we've had many of, for a long time, those, you know, when they play out there on the left coast, you know, it's a 12:30 in the morning, you're blowing me up on text or you're calling, you know, just bitching about whatever that late inning move is. And I'm like, Jesus, Jimmy, just go to bed already. Check SportsCenter out in the morning. Just relax.
It is amazing. So anyway, so this is an opportunity for us to talk to fans all across the St. Louis Cardinal Nation and really just get their thoughts. Let's bring him in right now. As like I said, I find him to be a great Cardinal fan. I have a lot of fun with some of the Twitter conversations that we have. And again, as Steve said, it's very ironic that I get labeled a Matheny apologist. But I'm more than happy to have him on. And like I said, I think his hashtag says, or not hashtag, his Twitter account says it all, @anti_Matheny. But let's welcome in Derek to the show. Derek, how you doing?
Good, Jim. It's nice to be on the show.
Yeah, love having you. Love the interactions and stuff on Twitter. Being a Cardinal fan almost seems like a privilege and an honor. We have so much fun with some of the stuff we do. I know you're a passionate Cardinal fan, but you're not from the area. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about how you became a Cardinal fan?
I'm originally from Southeast Iowa, so I am a native Midwesterner and spent a lot of time coming to Cardinals games in St. Louis and going with my dad on the road. We went to Kansas City for a few games, Milwaukee, Chicago. Definitely experienced the unfriendly confines of Wrigley Field, if you're a Cardinals fan anyway. So I moved out here about a decade ago to the Northwest and still follow the Cardinals. They watch Cardinals games on MLB TV, listen to the radio broadcast online. You know, Mike Shannon's a personal hero of mine. The thing that I miss with TV and radio broadcasters in the modern era is is the hokey broadcasting. It really makes it feel like a family event. You know, it's so much scripted broadcasting anymore. It's not a lot of fun, so it's fun to listen to Mike Shannon. John Rennie's pretty good as well. So I still follow the Cardinals pretty closely. Been watching. I watched some of the spring training games, watched the World Baseball Classic, and I get back to St. Louis occasionally. It was that opening day a couple of years ago.
Well, that's kind of what we're talking about today. Believe me, I know for sure. And as a, you know, I had Bruno on at STL Cards Cards on Monday. I'm having you on today. I've promised him and I promise you that you're both going to come back on the very first time Mike Matheny does something that makes everybody go crazy so that we can have a great conversation. But for today's purposes, I mainly want to talk about opening day. Obviously, you're not from the area, but you said you got back here a couple of years ago to experience an opening day. What was your general thoughts as a fan? And again, you've been a lifelong fan and not even one that readily is available to just go down to Busch Stadium every day. What are your thoughts on basically, you know, the whole scene, Busch Stadium, St. Louis Cardinals, the fans? What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, as far as opening day goes, it's a really exciting event. I was finally able to make it in 2014, and that was when it was raining. So they didn't end up having the Clydesdales there, but they did everything else. And, it, you know, it's such a special event. When you grow up as a Cardinals fan, you know, the ability to go to an opening day game is almost like a religious experience. It's just different with the Cardinals Hall of Famers there, with all the pageantry opening the field, opening the season at home. It's so much fun. I've always enjoyed getting back there and spending time with fellow Cardinals fans. And, you know, it kind of gets to one of the things that I try to bring up with people who talk about, well, you know, other franchises would be glad to have the record that Mike Matheny has. The Cardinals aren't other franchises. You know, if he were the Padres manager or the Mariners manager, they would be ecstatic, but the Cardinals are not those teams. They're the elite team of the National League, second only to the Yankees in World Series titles. So we're not talking about other teams. It's such a different experience being a Cardinals fan. And opening day is a special event.
Now, did you experience the whole thing? Did you go down early, walk around, have a couple of adult beverages maybe, experience some of the food, the atmosphere? Did you do the whole thing? I know, believe me, I've been a part of them just like you have. Some days, you know, it's like Mardi Gras. I compare it to Mardi Gras down at Soulard. Some years the weather is 70 degrees and sunny and people are in shorts, and some years it's raining all day. It just amazes me, though, how that doesn't keep people away. Did you get to experience the whole thing?
Yeah, in fact, my wife and I took the Redbird Express for the game. That was a really fun experience. We hadn't done that before. Decided to park on the Illinois side and ride in. So we were able to do some stuff. We stayed around downtown. That was when Shannon's was still open downtown. We went over there for a little bit. Kind of miss having that place around. I haven't found, frankly, Ballpark Village to be that exciting. I mean, it's okay if you're sitting in the common area there, but I wasn't overly impressed with the establishment. So yeah. I kind of missed some of the home places like Shannon's. I know it was a bit pricey, but it was such a nice experience going in there.
Yeah, I would agree. Most know that I worked at Anheuser-Busch for 17 years, and Mike Shannon Jr., I worked with Mike's son. So I had become, you know, friends with them, and we would everything we did was always at Shannon's, and it felt, you know, and Steve's shaking his head at me because he knows all the years of opening days or day games, World Series events. I mean, did we not? We spent how much time did we spend in Shannon's?
Yeah, a ton of time. I mean, it was just that was where we had to walk to. I mean, even though we parked south of the stadium,
yes, we would walk all the way.
We would
back
walk
over
all the way up to Shannon's just to. I mean, it just seemed like it was a great party.
Well, and not only that, I think as a fan, and I think this is what I like about, I think what you're saying, Derek, and again, you speak for yourself here, but for me, and again, if you're a real fan, number one, when you walked in the place, and you're right, I don't, you know, pricey, describe pricey, right? So everything's pricey anymore. But, you know, the thing is, when I walked in there, the memorabilia and the feeling I got when I walked in there, if you're a Cardinal fan at all, one of the greatest things was the meet me at Shannon's. with some of the unbelievable iconic figures in the game of baseball that would go over there and do the radio show with Mike. Was it Friday night? It was after Friday night games, right?
Right.
Okay. And to know that those people were in there, to know what those people were doing, to me, that was iconic. So I, like you, Derek, I am saddened by the fact that Shannon's is not there. I think it's awful, really.
Yeah. And, you know, I think Ballpark Village has tried to recreate some of that feeling. The history's not there yet. Now, you know, maybe in 15, 20 years, it will be around. You know, that feeling will exist, and people will be a little more nostalgic when they go in there. But at least in my experience there, it was, you know, it's very manufactured. And that's not a criticism of the Cardinals. I think they've done a great job trying to do some development. You know, you can get into all the discussion about tax breaks and stuff separately, but they've tried to do something with the area down there. I know downtown struggled a little bit the past decade or so, but it's just not the same. But as far as opening day, I mean, I love going to the ballpark. It was a great experience. I wish I could get back there for some games. I was able to go up and see the Cardinals up in Seattle this past summer. It was nice having them out here, so I do try to get to some games occasionally.
As the season begins, being a Cardinal fan, what are your general thoughts of this team? And, like, you know, what are your, like, you know, your hopes, your dreams? What are you seeing? What are you thinking as we head into this season, as far as this bunch is concerned?
There's some things to like. You know, I certainly like how Carlos Martinez has come along. You know, I'm excited to get Lance Lynn back, although, you know, I'm a little bit cautioned in that, knowing that he's coming off of an injury. So, you know, he's such a workhorse for the Cardinals before he got hurt. So it's nice to have him come back in the rotation. Kind of concerned about where Waino is and where his pitching seems to be going. Hopefully he can kind of figure that out as we get into the season. I was definitely happy to see that Mike decided to have C-Mart be the opening day starter. I think that does show a little bit of growth in his management, in that he's trying to at least not just go with the veteran guys who have been around for a long time, like Waino. Waino's done a lot of great things, but he's not the ace of the team anymore. As far as the rest of the team, you know, we'll have to see. I'm not thinking that it's a division winner by any chance. I'm not saying that they couldn't win a wild card. I think they're going to struggle again with some of the base running, some of the offensive statistics. You know, I think last year was kind of an anomaly. You've seen this trend since 2012, 2013 of the offense going in a negative direction. You know, the home runs were up, but you know, I'm not sure that I'm going to see that going forward as far as repeating what happened last season. So I'm a little bit cautious about them. I certainly want to impress upon you and others listening, I'm never anti-Cardinals. You know, I'm always passionate about the Cardinals. If they go out and have a great season, get, you know, deep in the playoffs, then I will give Matheny some credit for that. But I'm never going to be against the team, never going to be against the team. I love the Cardinals. I want them to do well. But I try to be balanced. I'm not ever going to be considered a BFIBer.
Yeah, I'm so anti-BFIB that it's not – Steve's laughing over here as you say that.
I think they're just the most appreciative fans in baseball.
I would go with
that. They're not the best fans. I mean, fans comes from fanatics, which fanatics end up throwing batteries at Santa Claus. You know, they ride opposing players like nobody's business. Okay, so we get a Daryl Strawberry chant out in right field. All right?
Yeah.
Somebody might bring a poster with you know, some sort of syringe on it when Braun comes in or Bonds comes in. But that's about the extent of it. We are more of the opposing pitcher goes out there, throws eight shutout innings, and he comes off at 130 pitches. Our fans stand and cheer. They appreciate good baseball. I'm not sure that they're fanatical.
Yeah, and I totally agree with that. I think other fan bases have exploited that out of jealousy for the Cardinals fan base. They try to make it into something that, for the most part, it isn't. But you certainly have those fans out there who are completely blinded by everything the franchise does. I see it a lot on the Facebook side. You know, I think there's a difference, major difference between Twitter users and Facebook users for the majority. I think because of the 140 character limit in Twitter, you have to be a lot sharper with what you say, more cerebral. Facebook, people just drone on forever, and it's a little bit less intelligent, frankly. I just don't see a lot of criticism on Facebook pages of Mike Matheny. Now, maybe I'm missing it, and I don't, frankly, check your Facebook page that much. But I see a lot of people being more honest on Twitter and really reflecting on where the franchise should be, as opposed to just saying, oh, this is, you know, everybody's great, Matheny's great, the Cardinal, I don't care if they win or lose, everything's wonderful. You know, it's just different. So I think there are those folks out there, but I agree, Steve. I don't think everybody's that way. I certainly don't think most of the fan base is.
Yeah, you know, fanatical is a great word when it comes to this stuff. But, you know, at the end of the day, my thoughts, you know, are always going to be that we're, you know, we have a great franchise that, you know, I think for the most part takes the fan experience into consideration with everything they do. I must say that I've been critical of ownership at different times for different things. Opinionated, of course. I mean, just things that I think, you know, again, I'll go to my grave thinking Albert Pujols should have been a Cardinal for life. I don't care. I don't care if he would have hobbled around. I don't care.
We don't go to another World Series for the 10 years.
Yeah, I there are just things that are important to me because I, you know, to me it's the franchise. I mean, I can't imagine, you know, again, I mean, I want people to go back and think how easily they could have just traded off Ozzie Smith at the end of his career. I mean, to me, there are certain things that make sense. The Yachty thing makes sense to me. But again, sometimes things that make sense don't happen, and there's just not a whole lot we as fans get to do about it. But the experience, to me, I feel is important to them as well, so I do appreciate that and what they try to do. Look at yourself. You're an example. I think you're an example of what being a Cardinal fan is all about. You don't live here, but now you're in a situation where a lot of Midwesterners are. If you're not located directly by another franchise, you got to kind of pick one, right? So there's my last question for you before I let you go. You could have picked the Cubs. You could have picked, I guess, Cincinnati, Cleveland, right?
Right. But okay. Southeast Iowa, where are you talking? Keokuk?
More northwest of there, Tumwa area.
Okay.
A Tumwa.
So you could have picked
Isn't that where Radar O'Reilly's from?
Yeah, the fictional home. Tom Arnold's also from there, but I don't claim him.
Right. Okay. See, he's not claiming Radar. Okay. So my question is, why the Cardinals and not another franchise? Was there something in particular?
You know, that area is pretty evenly split between Cubs and Cardinals. My dad was a pretty big Cardinals fan. So, you know, that's where we ended up going to a lot of Cardinals games, and I got it from him, frankly. We watched a lot of other games. You know, back in those days, we had WGN, we had WOR out in New York. There were Mets games on. TBS had Braves games on all the time. So we actually had more Cubs, Braves, Mets games on television than we did Cardinals games. You know, the local Fox affiliate would occasionally have a Sunday or Saturday Cardinals game that one of the St. Louis stations would carry. But we just went to a lot of games. My dad would sit outside on the porch and listen to Jack and Mike on the radio. And so I got that from him, and that's kind of where it all started.
Well, you know, I bet you're glad that that's the route you went, of course. Now, don't get me wrong. It probably would have been an unbelievable feeling to be a Cubs fan last year. Years and years of heartbreak, and then to finally win it had to be a euphoric experience for them. But I think each franchise has its own unique situation. I think, you know, the Cardinals is something, and you've alluded to this numerous times through your comments, that the reality of it is, for whatever reason you want to look at it, there's a certain expectation when it comes to being a Cardinal supporter. We expect a certain thing from our franchise. I think it's tough. It's tough on ownership group. I've often wondered if the Cardinal fan base could go through a quote-unquote rebuilding situation. I don't know that we could. Do you think the Cardinal fan base could handle a rebuilding situation?
Well, I mean, you saw the 90s were pretty tough. You know, even after La Russa got there was some struggles from 97, 99. You know, everybody was kind of jacked up about the McGuire Sosa home run chase, but the 90s were pretty bad overall for the Cardinals, and things kind of bottomed out. I certainly appreciate, you know, the past 17 years, this has been a pretty good franchise. And it really gets back to what I was saying was, you know, the Cardinals historically have been the best franchise in the National League. And I think Cardinal fans should expect better from the organization and not just say, well, you know, we're above 500 over the last few years, or we're better than the Padres or the Pirates. Well, those are pretty low bars. I think we should have expectations of rising above the highest bar and being one of the elite teams of all of baseball. I certainly think you would see some of the folks who have been bandwagon fans because of the success, they would peel away. I think that's true of any franchise. You know, being out here, I've seen a lot more people pop up as Seahawks fans the last 2 years versus when I first got out here, there weren't that many. You know, there are the hardcore ones, certainly, and they deserve respect as fans, but you see a lot more people wearing stuff now, and I kind of wonder when they start to bottom out if that will change. And I could see that happening with the Cardinals as well, as with any franchise. But I think sometimes that stuff is necessary as well.
Yeah, you know, it's a hard thing. I mean, people look at, you know, people get defensive about the Cubs World Series because I think none of us wanted them to ever win one. You know, I know I didn't. I love that. You know, I've talked numerous times about the friend of ours that's from Chicago. You know him, Tor. And we had him on the MLB show that I do because he actually went to Cleveland to experience it, bought tickets, paid. You know, he's like, I'm not even going to tell you what I paid. I came here to experience this. And, you know, Tor obviously can handle that. So he lived it, and we got that experience as a Cub fan of what it was like for him. So the thing that I thought was really interesting was he had said, and I think this is true of Cardinal and Cub fan, he said, listen, I don't want you to tell me great job, I'm happy for you. I want everything to stay just the way it's been. I want you to not like my team, and I don't want to like your team, and I want to have fun with you when we beat you, and I know that you're going to ride me when you beat us. I want you to call us this and that, and we want to have fun with saying, hey, we're not the lovable losers anymore. I don't want that to change. I want it to stay the same. So I appreciate that as a fan. I do, because to me, that's all we really have, right, is to have some fun with this.
Right. Yeah, and that's what I appreciate about you. You know, there's so many people, frankly, in the broadcast, podcast, writing arena who only want to interact or follow, you know, people who think like them or they're trying to impress. And, you know, I think you've been very fair with other people who have differences of opinion. As long as people are respectful and don't make it personal or don't use some kind of, you know, a personal attack, I think that's a good thing. I think it's
sure.
Good for people to be open to other experiences. That's all part of being a fan is, you know, being able to discuss and debate the particulars of the game.
Well, and think about this. I mean, really, I told Bruno, we were laughing about a day when I tweeted something, and he sent me a message saying, can I unload on your tweet? And I said, of course. What do we really all know anyway? I mean, they're all just opinions. Why in the world would I have a false sense of security about it, number one? Number two, why would I not like you because you don't agree with me? That is the silliest thing I've ever heard. Because like I said, I believe what I'm saying here. Every one of us, to a man, Okay, we don't know everything we think we know, but we know how we feel. So when something happens, whether it be, you know, again, you've made no secret, like you're not a Matheny guy. That's fine. But listen, it's funny to think people think I am a Matheny guy. That's fine. I'm more of a, okay, this is where I stand with, I'm not going to blame him for everything, because I'm a guy that while I think he makes bad choices, I'm a talent guy. I'm a player's play guy. So I'm going to be on the players a little bit more when they don't perform. It's just how I am. You know, from what playing experience I do have, I think players play. So for me, and again, I come back to all this, why would I not like you because you and I just don't see the same thing? That's just silly. That's what this is really all about. If we all thought the same way, we wouldn't need any of this. And that's what makes it fun.
Right, exactly. And, you know, it's really not worth watching the games or investing the time and money and energy into following the team if you can't feel like you have an opinion about stuff and share that with other people in a respectful way.
Of course.
It's not worth it.
And we can have fun. I mean, again, but the problem is, and you brought it up, and Steve and I have talked about this numerous times, I consider Twitter to be kind of almost like a drunk stupor. You have 140 characters. People are very emotional sometimes when they get on there and they throw stuff out. It can go both ways, right? People tend to think about what they're saying. But sometimes, man, people are upset and they just throw stuff out there. And the other thing is, sometimes you don't get a sense from somebody in 140 characters. Are they being sarcastic? Are they playing? See, because that's me. Like, Steve knows that.
Right.
I'm a devil's advocate guy. I don't believe half the things that I say or tweet sometimes. I just always have taken a stance of, okay, well, let's put ourselves in their shoes and try to figure out why this was done, why this decision was made, what was the thing here, what was the thing there. And I've always done that my whole life. It's not just baseball or Cardinal baseball, but that's just who I am as a person.
No, absolutely. And I look forward to, you know, having Derek and Bruno on when there is a major play, because I'm an arguer.
Yes.
I mean, I'll take the opposite just to have some fun and argue it. As do you. But playing the level that I did play, I played for a very, very bad coach at one point. And I'm telling you, I mean, he had a terrible philosophy on baseball. But I was still under the impression that players play. And if your guys were good enough, great. But when you steal a guy that weighs 240 pounds with a catcher that's an All-American back there, you know, you're going to run yourself out of an inning or two. It was a stupid play. All right? But at the end of the day, you know, once you play for somebody like that, you know, I like to look at, you know, when Matheny does something, okay, well, maybe it wasn't the right call, but was it worth a shot? Was it worth a shot to hit and run there? Was it worth a shot not to bunt in this situation? Do you want to squeeze? Are you playing for one run? And I love to argue those all day long. And but I'm not a guy who thinks that Matheny can do, the manager can do right and wrong at that level a whole lot, just because it is, all those guys have the ability to do certain things.
Yeah, that's the thing. Colton right. Wong would be a great example. There is no doubt about Colton Wong's potential and what he can do. We all know he's fast. We all know he can, you know, he's got this great glove, and we've seen him go through these power shifts. There's no doubt about what we can do, but what do I always say on the other show? What does Rick Strickland always say, who, you know, who's now employed by the, you know, he's such a great hitting coach. He's worked with the Cardinals. What's he always say? You can do in a cage, but you got to go do in a game right. at some juncture.
The 5 o'clock hitter ain't worth it.
Yeah. So, I Derek, right. I got to tell you, I've really enjoyed my conversation with you. I would love to extend this offering back out to you. Again, the first time the media heats up on old number 22, I'd sure like to have you back on.
Well, it sounds like that might be in a week or two.
It might be in a day or two.
I was going to say, when that opening lineup rolls out Sunday night and Lester's on the mound and Jerkel's at second base, this town's going to go crazy.
Yep.
Anyway, Derek, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Again, you're always welcome. If you ever, you know, if you're ever sitting around thinking, man, I got to get back on there, send me a note. Happy to have, again, what do we say we are? We are a fans podcast.
That's
if
it.
If the fans want to get on here, they want to they want to talk about something. They want to argue. They want to playfully argue about whatever they want to do. This is a fan show, and it's open to all fans that want to be a part of it. So thanks for coming on today, my man.
All right, appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
All right, that was our man anti_Matheny Derek, who does a great job on Twitter. He's a lot of fun. to go back and forth with. And again, respectful. I think that's the key word when it comes to social media. Social media gets off the tracks when what?
Well,
it's
you
not
get,
respectful.
Right. You get telephone tough or keyboard tough or whatever you want to say, you know, and you get ignorant, belligerent. And at the end of the day, Matheny's going to do what Matheny's going to do, and we have no say-so whatsoever. We can question him till the cows come home, but he's not going to go back and go, oh, let's go back in time and change that call because Jim and Steve said it was the wrong one or we should have done something different. It can't happen. But we love to complain. We love to say, well, I would have done this. But like you say all the time, everybody has a plan until they what?
Get hit in the face.
Get hit in the face, you know, and until you're in that dugout and making that call and getting paid to make that call, then guess what? You've never been wrong from 15 rows up in the stands. I've never made a bad call.
Right.
I've never been wrong ever from where I sat in the stands, ever. And that's the frustrating thing when you get people that do complain on everything. Because players play, and if that guy, if they execute the hit and run or the squeeze play or the guy steals or you send the guy, you know, from second on a base hit that probably you shouldn't have and it works, well, guess what? You're a genius. You're a hero. But when the catcher makes a hell of a play at home plate and tags you because the player made a bad slide to the outside and is trying to reach back and tag it after he's 6 foot by, well, then guess what? That's on the player.
Well, and think about some of the things that go on within the game of baseball if you've played at all. Okay, some of the stuff are situational type things. Like, for instance, Steve, where do you not make the third out?
At third.
You never make the third out at third. Why is that?
Because you don't want to take the bat out of your
that's
next
right.
batter's hands.
Okay.
That's it. It's a cardinal sin, right? And
right.
I thought at first they meant the St. Louis Cardinals.
Right. If there's two outs and a guy gets a base hit, do you try to score him even if it doesn't look all that great? Do you try to score him?
I always like aggressiveness. Well, now, there's obvious situations, but and they talk about that nonstop. Nonstop, they talk about
right.
what your situation and capability is. And you know that guy, if you're the third base coach, who got a good jump off the crack of the bat. We coached it from age 5 on that we would coach, hey, two outs, you're not watching where the ball goes. So the frustrating thing is when players, and Pujols was notorious for this, running the bases, where all of a sudden it hit the right field, and he wants to stare out at the right fielder to see if he can make it.
Yes.
To third.
Well, and then what do they call him then? A good base runner because he would take bases when you don't think he should. You know, I like one of the things that would always happen, why would they get him thrown out at home with so-and-so up to bat? And I would say, well, because there's two outs and the greatest hitters in the game only get a hit in that instance 30% of the time.
Right. So, and it takes a – how many times did we do that in youth ball?
Yes.
It took a perfect play to get the guy out. And sometimes – guess what? The defense practices just as much as we practice on offense.
That's right. So there's all kinds of things that go on within the game of baseball that are what you would call, this is what we do. What I do find interesting, as always, is when it's the reverse. And let's face it, the game is managed by men who make decisions sometimes based on things that they know that we don't. It's also made with your gut sometimes. And guess what? I can tell you at the 10U level that I'd made a lot of mistakes using my gut, which you could have criticized me for and said, well, that was just not smart. And I said, well, the situation dictated that I try this because what you don't realize is this kid on deck right now couldn't hit a beach ball.
Right.
And I know he's supposed to be one of my best players, but he's just not very good right now. So there's a lot of that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, that's why I've always said, and I've always operated on this premise, no matter how dumb or smart I think the manager is, I know this. He knows more than I do. And what I mean by that typically is
more information.
He has more information at his disposal than I do. Things that you and I may not realize. And again, I'm not trying to say that we are above anybody here. We have the benefit, okay, of having a guy on that played the game at a high level, obviously. A guy that sat behind home plate. Catchers are typically awfully involved in the game and are awfully knowledgeable about what's really happening versus what we think's happening. And I hate to say this, but I'm going to listen to Benji. I really am. Do I think he knows everything? No. I mean, Benji wouldn't sit here and say he's perfect or knows everything. But he's been in the locker room. He's been on the field. He's had to say things. And listen, here's the other thing that people need to remember. We're talking about baseball at the highest level, ladies and gentlemen. We don't have time for feelings here. So all the people that are talking about Colton Wong's been wronged and all this, let me tell you something. This is big boy baseball.
Yeah, it's not daddy ball anymore.
Okay? He's got to perform. And the simple solution, and yesterday, and we all were going back and forth on Twitter about it, simple solution is if he does what he's supposed to do, this is a non-issue.
Non-issue.
Because if anybody thinks for 1 minute the Cardinals didn't sign him to a five-year, $25 million deal because they didn't believe in him, well, there's your first thing, that they believed in him enough to give him 5 years and 25. When they didn't have to, mind you, he could be making a couple million dollars right now.
Right.
And they could cut ties with him if they didn't want to when it was time, right?
Right.
But they believed in him enough. And with his skill set, to think for 1 minute that Mike Matheny or anybody, for that matter, wouldn't want a guy that has the potential to hit 280, steal some bases, hit for some power, and play great defense? Well, holy cow, that sounds like a borderline all-star second baseman to me.
Right.
So why in the world wouldn't you want it?
Hey, let me tell you what. If you want to compare him to something, I mean, look at what Javi Baez is doing for the Cubs. Well, the guy's electric.
Okay, yes.
Colton Wong has that ability. That's who he is.
Right, and Javi Baez doesn't even have a starting position
exactly.
in Chicago.
Exactly.
Okay, and I'll give you another thing, too, for all the people out there. I've gotten into this with some people. Why would in the world would you put Colton Wong in left field? So my question to them was, Chris Bryant can go play the outfield. Javier Baez can go play the outfield. Kyle Schwarber can go play the outfield. And here's what they said. Well, those other guys probably had some training. It's running. This guy is a world-class athlete. I can assure you he can run.
Colton Wong was an outfielder.
I think he was a shortstop, wasn't he? No, was he an outfielder when he was younger?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's what they said. Well, he hadn't played since high school or something. I don't even care.
These guys play everywhere.
Listen, I looked at Chris Bryant's stats, okay? He didn't play outfield in the minors ever.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, just one day at the big league level, he says, hey, if we got to get these guys in the lineup and we got problems out there, I'll go out there.
Listen, everybody's converted in baseball, okay?
They were all shortstops and center fielders.
Carson Kelly played third. They're converting him to catcher. You know, there's maybe at the catcher spot there might be more pigeonholed, but at the end of the day, or a left-handed kid, but most of these kids play everywhere. They know all the positions. They know what to do. They have great baseball instincts. It is not beyond them to move out there and be a suitable left fielder or center fielder. But they do need that practice because it is different, you know, being at the big league level.
Well, I can tell you that without question, my honest opinion on all this is that I don't care. This is fun. You know what I mean?
Speaking of fun, I just heard a little cursing underneath your breath, and I look over, and you're pulling up a little fantasy. Who got injured? What's the latest news?
Well, I mean, I got a couple guys that look like they might be injured for opening day. Adrian Beltre looks like he might be hurt, so we'll have to see how that
goes.
Well,
I'd like to play you this week then, huh?
Well, yeah,
catch you while you're cold.
Yeah, you never know. But, no, so, you know, again, I'm going to enjoy this. I'm looking forward to mingling with all of our fellow Cardinal fans. I'm looking forward to showing Benji how we do it. I encourage everybody out there to get out and enjoy it. You and I went to Busch Stadium and enjoyed the Winter Classic. And I can tell you, with that weather, the place was packed. I know that fans will not let us down.
What is going to be the economic impact here? I mean, this has got to be, you got to think 100,000 plus people down there for this.
They say
and the
Blues
they say
sometimes it's more than that. And the Blues game's at 3 o'clock.
3 o'clock. So it's going to be a heck of a time to be in the city if you're around. So try to get there for sure.
Well, I'm excited about it. I'm excited for Benji to see Cardinal Nation and the support that they give this club from the outside and really just to be there. At the end of the day, that's it, right?
That's it.
I'm going to get my note signed by Benji so that I can be off work Monday. He will be walking around signing notes. If you guys want to find us and bring your note to call off work Monday, Benji will be happy to sign it.
It has to be already typed or handwritten.
Handwritten. You don't want him typing your note for you that day. But you show up, you find us with your handwritten note calling off work Monday, like a doctor's note, right?
Like a
doctor. I was with Benji Molina. I'm off work. All right? That's the deal. Hey, for Two Birds on a Bat, this is your host, Jim Cromer, and, of course, my good friend Steve Flowers with Fish being at work. He's dying, by the way, not being here. I feel bad for him right now. And all the guys at the steel mill that are out there, especially the ones that listen to the show, we need to get all them guys back to work so this guy can you know, for one, they need to get back for their livelihood. And for Fish's sake, he needs to get back there so he can get his schedule altered so he can start being here again. But I feel bad for him. You know, he's missing it. We've got a lot of fans asking where he's at.
I know. I talked to him the other day, and he goes, he goes, it was so much better being out of work. I could come do the fun stuff. He doesn't want to work anymore. He wants to come do the podcast.
He wants to work.
His
wife wants him to work. Hey, for Two Birds on a Bat, make sure you check us out, twobirdsonabat.com. Subscribe to the show. Easiest way to get the notifications when it comes out. It is free. Of course, we appreciate all the following on Twitter, at Birds on a Bat Show. And again, Facebook, Two Birds on a Bat. Special thanks again to rallysquirrel.com, the great Facebook page from our friend Nate McHenry. Love his take each and every week. Rally Squirrel Club, the box that you get every week. Awesome thing to be a part of. Don't forget it. Of course, the Cardinal Freak. Of course, Chris Lawless over at Cardinal Nation and all the great Facebook pages and all the great fans out there that are supporting the show. Don't forget, whenever you see it, all we're asking you to do is share it around in an effort to make sure all Cardinal fans find us, because we want them to be a part of the show. For Two Birds on a Bat, this is Jim. That's my man, Steve. See you guys at the stadium.
Go Birds.
Today's show is presented by DaVinci Smart Drink. Order yours now at lineupmedia.fm/DaVinci. DaVinci, excite better thinking.
Need a mental boost? DaVinci Smart Drinks were designed with professional thinkers in mind. With key ingredients shown to improve cognitive function and increase mental energy, DaVinci Smart Drinks excite better thinking. Drink a DaVinci. Let it go to your head.
This podcast was a presentation of lightupmedia.fm.